My guest at this time is Washington State Republican Congressman Doc Hastings. He is also the chairman of the House Natural Resources Committee. He joins me today to offer his reaction to the president's newest push towards climate change. And it's not even legislation this time. It's basically executive action that would bypass Congress due to the fact that even a democratically controlled Congress about 4 years ago failed to advance his agenda and actually make it law. The chairman is also here to talk about offshore energy access and the debate that is playing on that front on Capitol Hill as well. And, sir, thank you very much for being with us.
It's my pleasure.
The president last week in Europe outlined the fact that climate change is going to be a major initiative of his, and he essentially said he's not really going to try and waste time negotiating with Congress, so that he's just going to do what he can through executive actions. First of all, let's talk about that aspect of it before we get to what he wants to accomplish. What do you make of him trying to leave the legislative branch out of the equation?
Let's put things in a perspective that you mentioned in your opening remarks, and that is the American people, through their representatives some 4 years ago, when the Democrats controlled both the House and the Senate, rejected these notions of laws regarding climate change. So I think that with the president's new initiative, and maybe in view of the background of the scandals that are going on, he's trying to change the subject and perhaps pandering a bit to his base. But the point is that the American people don't feel that this legislation is necessary. Our technology is such that we can have abundance of energy and still take care of the environment. We have proven that in the past.
Mr. Chairman, the president is expected to specifically talk about conventional coal plants, and one of his climate advisors, a gentleman by the name of Daniel Schrag, who directs the Harvard University Center for the Environment, told the New York Times, the one thing the president really needs to do now is to begin the process of shutting down the conventional coal plants. Politically, the White House is hesitant to say they're having a war on coal. On the other hand, a war on coal is exactly what's needed. You already have, even before the president gave the speech on Tuesday, Mitch McConnell and others saying this is going to be a huge cost on American families because, of course, coal is how a lot of Americans get their energy. And if you start targeting the plants, those costs are going to be going up. What's your approach to the White House approach on conventional coal?
Well, we have known, because we've seen evidence of the fact that this administration has pursued a war on coal with the stream buffer rule, for example, that has gone through a couple of changes, but it would essentially strangle the coal industry. And keep in mind, these jobs are very good paying jobs. In a sluggish economy, that's the last thing we need to do, is to take good American jobs away from Americans. And yet that seems to be what this administration is doing. But we have known all along that he has wanted to conduct a war on coal. It's just now come out publicly, for one of his advisors said it publicly.
Mr. Chairman, if the president simply tries to bypass Congress, what can Congress do about it?
Well, of course, we can, which we have in the past, is attempt to defund those initiatives through the appropriation process. But even that's very, very difficult, because while the Senate was really the body that rejected the last climate change bill, they're still controlled by Democrats, and they may not pass those defunding initiatives that we will undoubtedly pass in the House. But that's one way that we can do it. But I think that probably more importantly, there will be an outrage from the American people when they see these important parts of our economy, namely the energy sector, being strangled by this administration. There has to be some sort of a pushback, and that's why I believe this president is probably trying to change the subject a bit, and that's why he's coming out with this main speech. But the American people have already rejected that notion.
What's your take on the impact that coal is having on our climate? Some say, like the president, of course, that it's having a very negative effect. Others say there's clean coal. Others say human activity at all is questionable. So where do you come down on that?
Well, let's talk about the abundance of coal that we have in this country, for goodness sake, and let's talk about the technology that we have proven time and again that we can burn our fuels in a cleaner, more environmentally friendly way. We have proven that over the last half century, and there's no reason to believe that we can't do it again. But to simply say, okay, we're not going to burn any coal at all, does not make any sense at all to me at all.
I don't know if you've looked at the numbers recently, sir, but you've mentioned the president's kind of had this attitude towards the coal industry and coal-fired power plants for a while. Do you have any estimate on if the president gets exactly what he wants, what our energy bills might look like?
Well, there's no question that they would go up, because at the same time that the president is strangling the coal industry, he is attempting de facto to do exactly the same thing with oil and natural gas production, especially on federal lands. Keep in mind, we are producing more domestically, but it's in spite of, not because of, this administration's policies. Most of the energy production, particularly in North Dakota, is coming from state lands and private lands. Yet the potential resources that we have on federal lands and offshore is tremendous, and yet this president is trying to strangle that too. So you put the combination of his war on coal, which is now public, and his de facto war on oil and gas, and you are harming our energy industry in this country.
Well, you've certainly led right into the legislation that I know you're supportive of, and that's the Offshore Energy and Jobs Act. Your estimate is that it could create over 1 million jobs. Explain how that would happen, where the exploration would happen. What's in this bill?
Well, when President Obama took office, there was potential energy exploration on both the Pacific and the Atlantic coast. And the president, in his first year, essentially shut off 85% of that potential production. This legislation would open that up, and that's principally in the South Atlantic and off the Pacific coast, and in Alaska. And every president has to have a 5-year energy plan. And what we say in this legislation is that this president and future presidents shall offer leases where they know there are known resources. What a novel idea, offering leases where you think you can get oil and natural gas. And that's what this legislation does. But there's also something else that I think is not talked about enough, and that's the national security aspect of being less dependent on foreign energy. All we have to do is look at the volatility in the Middle East, what's going on, and we know that that's where most of the of our crude oil comes from, at least worldwide crude comes from that area. And when we have these resources here and we don't take advantage of these resources, I think that's a national security problem. So it's we can strengthen our national security, but grow American jobs and you have to have energy in a growing economy. So it's a win-win from my perspective to go offshore and utilize these resources that we know we have.
Let me have you respond to what I would guess would be some of the criticisms from your opponents on this issue. Number one is that they would be concerned about the environmental impact if offshore drilling went bad. They would point to the Deepwater Horizon incident in the Gulf of Mexico back in 2010. What can you tell us and them about the safety record of that type of extraction?
Well, two things. First of all, the industry has stepped up, and we had a hearing less than a year after the BP spill, and we had a hearing in Louisiana right off the coast, and there were some industry folks that were there, and we asked, okay, if there was another incident like BP, how quickly could you respond to that? And the industry testified in front of our committee that they could respond in a very, very quick time frame, like less than 2 or 3 weeks, probably less time than that. Now, since then, it's gotten better. But we fail to recognize. Certainly, there are risks in anything that you do. Nobody's going to argue there's not risks. But if you can minimize that, and with the technology that we have and the ingenuity that Americans have, I think it just simply doesn't make any sense not to utilize it. So I think those that talk about that ignore what makes really America great, and that is the ingenuity that we have in all areas of our society.
We've seen the Republican House pass this type of legislation before. I don't know if anything specifically like this, but my guess is it's likely to pass the House. Do you think it's got a chance in the Senate, given some of the Democratic senators whose states could potentially benefit from this?
Well, there's an aspect to this offshore, and that is revenue sharing, which we think is an important aspect to it. Now, a lot of states, and certainly states along the seaboard of our country, are facing revenue problems like all states are, if they look at this as a potential way to ease their burden, then I hope that they look favorably at that. But that's, we did pass similar legislation in different pieces a couple of years ago. Maybe times have changed. After all, gas prices have remained high, and this is one way to alleviate that.
Last question. How do you get to 1.2 million jobs with this?
Very simple. When you create energy jobs, are good-paying jobs, and when you have a market and potential markets overseas, because of the abundance of energy and way we can extract it, you're bound to create jobs that's going to make sure that this energy gets in the hand of consumers.
Well, two very different perspectives on traditional forms of energy in this country from what House Republicans are doing and what President Obama is likely to be suggesting here in the coming days and weeks. Sir, thank you very much for being with us, as always.
You're welcome. Thank you very much.
Doc Hastings represents the 4th Congressional District in Washington State. He's the chairman of the House Natural Resources Committee. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WND.com.